Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tavad Edyatma Bur. Atma manena turuti anehasa puruvad abdham kridantam dhadurishe sa kalam harim tavad edyatma buratma Manina trutyane hasha, puruvad adham kritam dham, dhadurishe sakalam harim, tavad edyat mabhuratma, manina trutyane hasha, puruvad adham kritam dham, Dhadvishe kalam, sadvishe sakalam harim. Tavaredyatma bhuratma. Manena trutyena hasha. Purovad adham kritantam. Dhadvishe sakalam harim. Tavat. For so long. Etya, after returning, Atmabhu, Lord Brahma, Atmamanena, by his Brahma's own measurement, Turuti Anehasha, by one moment's time, Puravat, just as previously, Adham, for 1 year, by human measurement of time. Kridantam, playing. Dadrishe, he saw. Sakalam, along with his expansions. Harim, Lord Hari, Krishna. Prabhupada said, our Krishna. Translation, when Lord Brahma returned after a moment of time had passed, according to his own measurement, he saw that although by human measurement a complete year had passed, Lord Krishna, after all that time, was engaged, just as before, in playing with the boys and calves, who were his expansions. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Lord Brahma had gone away for only a moment of his time, but when he returned, a year of human time had passed. On different planets, the calculation of time is different. To give an example, a man-made satellite may orbit the Earth in an hour and 25 minutes, and thus complete one full day, although a day ordinarily takes 24 hours for those living on Earth. Therefore, what was but a moment for Brahma was 1 year on earth. Krishna continued to expand himself in so many forms for 1 year. But by the arrangement of Yogamaya, no one could understand this but Balaram. After one moment of Brahma's calculation, Brahma came back to see the fun caused by his stealing the boys and calves. But he was also afraid that he was playing with fire. Krishna was his master, and he had played mischief for fun by taking away Krishna's calves and boys. He was really anxious, so he did not stay away very long. He came back after a moment of his calculation. When Brahma returned, he saw that all the boys, calves and cows, were playing with Krishna in the same way as when he had come upon them. By Krishna's display of yoga maya, the same pastimes were going on without any change. On the day when Lord Brahma had first come, Baladev could not go with Krishna and the cowherd boys, for it was his birthday, and his mother had kept him back for the proper ceremonial bath called Shantika Shnan. Therefore, Lord Baladev was not taken by Brahma at the same time. Now, 1 year later, Brahma returned, and because he returned on exactly the same day, Baladev was again kept at home for his birthday. Therefore, although this verse mentions that Brahma saw Krishna and all the cowherd boys, Baladev is not mentioned. It was 5 or 6 days earlier that Baladev had inquired from Krishna about the extraordinary affection of the cows and the cowherd men. But now when Brahma returned, Brahma saw all the calves and cowherd boys playing with Krishna as expansions of Krishna, but he did not see Baladev. As in the previous year, Lord Baladev did not go to the woods on the day that Lord Brahma appeared there. Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamaniti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Yivishesha Shunyavadi Pashtata Deshatarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Shri Guru Karuna Maya Bandum Tara Bharadhvaya Prema Kapaturu Bharadhata Diksha Mantra Harinam Yahara Amulya Dhan Ibo Ghavo Tashra Guna Gata. I bow down to the lotus feet of my spiritual master, who is a wish-fulfilling tree of divine love for Krishna, the most magnificent benefactor who initiated me into the valuable jewel of the Maha Mantra. How can I sufficiently praise his glories? Manchakopa Turubhyas Chakripa Sindhuve Vacha Paditanam Pavani Opashti. Haribo. So, this is the very famous pastime of Brahma Vimohana Leela, or the bewilderment of Brahma, that took place in a forest here in Vrindavan. As we know, Krishna spends the better part of his day, or days, in the forest, herding calves. He's in Nandagram with Nanda and Yashoda for some of the night. And he comes back in the evening. But most of the day, Krishna's in the van. He's in the forest with the cowherd boys and the cows. So fortunate are those cowherd boys and cows. They get the most association. This all takes place in the forest, most of Krishna's pastimes. In Srimad Bhagavatam 10:24-24, Krishna addresses this. He says to his father, Nana puro janapada nagramyana griya vayam vana ashashta tat nityam vana shala vivashina. It's one of my favorite verses. Short but very sweet, and really has that essence of Vrindavan, which is why we've all come here. Krishna says, my dear father, our home is not in the cities, towns, or villages. Being forest dwellers, we always live in the forest and on the hills. Isn't that beautiful? I'll recite it again. My dear father, our home is not in the cities, towns, or villages. Being forest dwellers, he says, being forest dwellers, we always live in the forest or on the hills. Shivandama Dham Ki. Now, the particular forest where this pastime took place, Brahma's bewilderment, is sometimes referred to as Bachavan. Bachaman. It means the forest of kids, the forest of children. Or sometimes it's called Vatsavan. Bachaman or Vatsavan, depending who's taking you on Purukkama. We have our Purukkama gurus like Dinabandhu. He's my Purukkama guru, Dinabandhu. I've learned so much from him. Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj, Lokanath Swami, these different devotees. So they'll call it Bhajavan or Vatsavan. And this particular forest, because there's so many forests, was very dear to Srila Narayan Bhatta Goswami, who states in his Braja Bhakti Vilas, famous book, I was very happy to come across this book a few years ago, wherein he describes so many of the holy places of Vrindavan, and he gives them prana mantras, actually. So in Braj Bhakti Vilas 1157, he says, Vurishta lobdha mahot tata vatsaha rana hetave nama kritartha rupaya vatsakyaya vanayate. He identifies this particular forest where this pastime took place. He says, and I quote, obeisances to the forest that is the cause of stealing away of the cowherd boys and calves, which was born out of the bewilderment of Brahma. Obeisances to you, O forest of Vatsavan, which you are the personification of all good fortune. We often speak about the 12 forests of Vrindavan. The general forest is there, Vrindavan. Van means forest, so Vrindavan means the forest which Vrindadevi gave to Srimati Radhika, Vrindavan. But if you go a little deeper, you'll know it consists of 12 forests. But actually there's approximately 133 sub-forests in Vrindavan. And then there's sub-sub-forests, and there's sub-sub-sub, almost ad infinitum. This is a spiritual place. Anandu Bhuti Bhadavanam, everything's always increasing. So there's 133 sub-forests. This is a little technical, but details are important for us. There's 12 upavans, van means forest, 12 upavans, 12 prativans, 12 adivans, 12 tapovans, you can do austerity there, mokshavans, kamavans, desire places, arthavans, dharmavans, siddhivans. You can get mystic powers, but be sure to use them in the service of Krishna. There's 5 sevivans. This is the forest culture of Braj. Many years ago I was associating with one of Prabhupada's good friends, Vishwambar. We called him Bhagaji. He lived not far from here actually, 50 meters down the road. He's the one that gave the money originally for the original Gurukul here. And he told us one time that when he came here in the 1930s, he said, from here in Ramanreti out to Govardhan, it was such a thick forest that if you walked during the daytime, you would not see even one ray of light. This was Vrindavan. Of course, it's still like that on Uppercut Leela. The spiritual platform that we can't see, Krishna's pastimes are still going on here. But now, you have to carry an umbrella if you were to walk that distance. So many forests. Just the other day I visited a forest near Varshana, actually closer to Vishaka, Saki's village. Just outside her village, there's a forest of kadamba trees. Only kadamba trees. And when we inquired about this forest, we learned that this is where one of the places that Jiva Goswami did his bhajan. It's one of his bhajan stalis. Only kadamba trees. I thought, why is out here in the middle of nowhere? Of course, it's everywhere for us, Vrindavan. But I was thinking, a forest, we inquired. And when Rupa Goswami was staying at Terakadamba, for the purpose of bhajan and specifically writing Upadeshamrita, Jiva Goswami, who was his only initiated disciple, wanted to serve as Guru Maharaj at Terkadamba. But Rupa said, no, I have to focus, I'm okay here. You can stay nearby and come from time to time and render service. So we all know Terkadamba. We always go there on Purkama, right? Very beautiful place. And there's that bub out there. He goes through the whole pastime. But so Jiva Goswami went and he stayed. It seems some distance away. Of course it is. It's near Varshana. He stayed in that forest of Kadamba trees. And every day he would walk to Terkadamba, do some service, and come back and stay in that forest. I didn't know it existed. So we stayed there for a long time. Very mystical place, actually. And we had kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And we danced around the forest. We told pastimes. Srila Jiva Goswami. So many forests. So this particular pastime of Brahma Vimohana Leela, the bewilderment of Brahma, took place in Vatsavan. Krishna and his cowherd friends, they spend a lot of time in Vatsavan. Everyone has their preferences, and Krishna likes that forest. One time, he and his friends left very early from Nandagram with the calves to go to Vatsavan. But being boys, you know, boys will be boys, on the way, they ate their lunches. Boys are always hungry. I remember we wake up in the morning, Mom said, how are you? I'm hungry, Mom. Boys are hungry, they're growing. So cowherd boys, their lunches, as we know from Krishna book, were prepared by their mothers. And Krishna had a special lunch prepared by Mother Yasoda. The boys always wanted that lunch. They would steal Krishna's lunch and throw it around and play games with him. But on the way, the boys were so hungry that by the time they got to Vatsavan, they ate all their lunches. So when they got there, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says they were still hungry. Actually, he describes it in great detail. He says, quote, disturbed by the growling of their stomachs, these boys tried to distract themselves in various ways, but they could not forget their hunger. Finally, Sridham Thakur, he said to Krishna, and by the mercy of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, we quote him, oh brother, for lack of food, we are too weak to eat. We can't even eat, we're so weak. Not to mention, make our way back home this evening. If you do not do something quickly, we will perish on the spot. So feeling great sympathy for his friends, Krishna took his venu, he took his flute, and he played it in such a way that it immediately produced unlimited pots of yogurt, rubbery, and butter. I don't know about eating butter or just yogurt, but rubbery? We all love rubbery. So there were so many pots. Krishna can do amazing things with his flute. He can steal with his flute. What? Yes, with his flute, he steals the hearts of the gopis. And one time the boys were very tired, you know, it was hot out, so Krishna stuck his flute in the ground, poof, one lake was there. So Shastra says the boys, they, quote, leaped on the pots, just like tigers leap from behind bushes upon an unsuspecting prey. We're quoting the acharyas here. And what did they do while they were eating? There's no gramya katha. They simply spoke about their amazing friend and his ability to do mystical things with his flute. Because they consider him to be just their friend. This is Braj, there's no Aishwarya Bhav here, awe and reverence. They love Krishna more than anyone's ever been loved before. And Krishna loves them more than anyone's ever been loved before, because love reigns supreme in Braj. And through those pastimes, we get a sense of that. And then in our hearts, we think, that's what I want, not what's of this world. So important to hear the Krishna Katha. Now, another similar pastime took place near to Vatsava. One day in the forest, Krishna, he started boasting. It's okay, he's God, he can do. He started boasting to his friend. He said, "Okay, boys, sit down, I want to tell you something." "Okay, we want to wrestle, now sit down." "Okay." He said, "As a supreme controller, I can do anything at any time." The boys are like, "What?" "By my will alone, boys, I create universes. And by my powers of illusion, I subdue demigods and demons alike." They're like, "What's he talking about? He's just like us." Then Krishna said, "And just because you boys sometimes defeat me in play, doesn't mean I'm inferior. Come on now, test me." So when he spoke like that, some boys were speechless. The word used is dumbfounded. And one other boy, he laughed and he jokingly said, "Who do you think you are, Krishna? Lord Narayan?" And all the boys held their stomachs. "You think you're Lord Narayan or something?" But Krishna can boast. Rupa Goswami says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that in a display, this boasting was a display of one of his four personality types called Dhirodhata, meaning a personality who shows, mind you, transcendental jealousy, pride, anger, restlessness, and complacency. I give a whole lecture on that. Prabhupada said all these qualities are present in the spiritual world except for envy. But all those qualities, anger, restlessness, complacency, in their own ways, they facilitate loving exchanges between Krishna and his devotees. And they just, the love deepens. So the acharyas say that, okay, Krishna said, "You test me." So the acharyas say that the cowherd boys, they then sat down facing Krishna and were about to, you know, engage in some type, like they were going to wrestle with him. But they discussed amongst themselves how Krishna could best prove himself to be such a powerful personality as he claimed. So they finally came up with this idea to test Krishna's supreme nature. They said, "Krishna, manifest many enjoyable dishes." Their voice. "Such as laddu, kheer, and sandesh." Krishna said, "No problem." Then they said, "But after we finish eating them, the dishes should reappear just as they were before us." They thought, "We've got him now. He's boasting." So Krishna smiled and he said, "Is that all?" Then he effortlessly, instantly manifested countless sweets and salty preparations. And within moments, the cowherd boys, they just jumped on that feast and enthusiastically consumed the whole thing. But as soon as they finished, they looked, and the entire feast was still there. It reappeared as it was before. So finally, when they could no longer eat anymore, they laid down. And one boy said, "Can I say something?" The other boy said, "Sure." The boy said, "Krishna must truly be that Govinda whom the scriptures call the primeval cause of all causes." Now you don't expect to hear that in Braj. He's just my friend. So they for a moment, they realized his divinity. Krishna must truly be that Govinda whom the scriptures call the primeval cause of all causes. Then they fell asleep, and when they woke up, by the power of Yoga Maya, they forgot what they said. They said, "Where's our friend Krishna? We want to wrestle with him." And they continued their playful pastimes. So this is what happens every day in the forest of Vrindavan. And there's actually many such pastimes in and around Vatsavan. But one could say, picking an educated guess, that the main pastime in Vatsavan or Vatsavan is the one we're studying in this chapter. The bewilderment of Brahma. But from a technical point of view, if we study the scriptures very carefully, which we should, We should daily read Srila Prabhupada's books. We can understand this pastime began in the Agavan forest. We're taking a tour here this morning of the different forests. This pastime began in Agavan, where Krishna killed the Agasura demon. As that pastime was unfolding, you know, the whole pastime of Krishna killing Agasura, Lord Brahma and the demigods were up in their airplanes watching, because that's what they do. When they have time, they come down to Vrindavan, they hover above Braj, and they watch, you know, in full technicolor, Krishna's pastimes. And when Krishna killed Agasura, the demigods all cheered. Just see, Krishna's the supreme personality of Godhead. But Brahma's mood was a little different that day. He was astonished looking at this pastime. He said, how could they all praise a little boy as the Supreme Lord? He's just a kid in Bhajavan. That's what he does, his pastimes. How can he be the Supreme Lord? Of course, this is all the arrangement of Yoga Maya. So he came up with a plan, as those of you who have been here the last month, we've been covering this pastime for almost a month, to steal all the calves and boys for 1 year and bewilder Krishna. So the acharyas say, naturally this brings up a question. How could Lord Brahma do such a thing? Actually, Jiva Goswami, he poses the same question in his Vaishnava Toshani commentary. He has a commentary on Vaishnava Toshani. He writes that, well, Lord Brahma is actually omniscient in the sense that he knows all the Vedas. In the Vedas, whatever is to be known is known. And if you study the Vedas, then you know, quote unquote, everything that you can know in your limited capacity. But anyway, he said Brahma, he's omniscient in the sense that he knows all the Vedas. So he too poses the question, how can such a person be bewildered? But then he answers the question, because without him answering it, how are we going to know? So he writes, this boy, Krishna, has Maya Mohan Atta, the capacity to influence anyone and everyone with his Yoga Maya. And this Yoga Maya can bewilder, quote, the best among those who are firmly situated in knowledge. Brahma. He's the head of our sampradaya, so the best amongst those who are firmly situated in knowledge. Now there's another explanation I found as to why Lord Brahma became bewildered. This is hard for us to... Of course, Brahma's position is not always like our Brahma. There's so many universes, and in each universe there's a Brahma. And depending on the size of the universe, he has an equivalent number of heads. Sometimes Brahmas have 1,000 heads. Sometimes 64,000 heads. We have a kind of tiny universe, so our Brahma only has 4 heads. But our Brahma, we know from the pastime, he's a pure devotee of the Lord. But just as Arjuna is a pure devotee of the Lord, and became temporarily confused by the will of the Lord so that Lord could speak Bhagavad Gita to his friend, not a demon or materialistic person, Arjuna humbly accepted that position, although he's a pure devotee. So don't doubt our Brahma because of this pastime. It's all arranged by the Lord. And one devotee gives a very nice explanation as to why Brahma became bewildered. I have a cold, excuse me. It's a very rustic explanation. This devotee says, he explains why Brahma had the right to kidnap all Krishna's calves and coward boys. Brahma had the right to steal Krishna's calves and Krishna's boyfriends? He had the right? Wait a minute. So this devotee's name is Harisuri. He's lived some hundreds of years ago. He was a very deep rustic devotee, a very wonderful poet, and many great Vaishnavas study him. So listen to what he said. He writes, there is no fault on the part of Brahma for stealing all of Krishna's calves and friends because, and I quote him now, listen carefully, the Lord is the father of this universe and Brahma is his son. The Lord has appeared in a family of cowherds. So ideally, the father should take care of the elder cows and elderly gopas, and the son should take care of younger calves and younger boys. To fulfill the son's responsibility, Brahma took care of the calves and boys for an entire year. So many great Vaishnavas we don't know about, but they were there, and they wrote, and we're discovering all these things in the Vrindavan Research Institute. As you know, they've given us the liberty to help them revamp that whole program there. And we're taking advantage to go in the library and pull out these shastras by many authorized Vaishnava devotees. So to make a long story short, later on, Brahma, wanting to bewilder Krishna, as you know, he kidnapped all the boys in the calves. But the acharyas say that it was Lord Brahma who would soon be bewildered, not Krishna. But when Brahma decided to steal the boys and calves, it was actually Yogamaya, the acharyas say, Yogamaya who hid them. Then Mahamaya produced replicas for Brahma to steal. And it was then that Krishna showed his supreme power, as described by Shukadeva Goswami in 10.13.18. Shukadeva Goswami says, how Krishna enters this pastime, he says, therefore, just to create pleasure for both Brahma and for the mothers of the cows and cowherd boys, Krishna, the creator of the entire cosmic manifestation, expanded himself as calves and boys. Now, within that verse is something very important, that for the pleasure of the mothers and calves, the mothers of the calves and cowherd boys, Krishna expanded himself. So how do the mothers of the calves who were stolen and the mothers of the boys who were stolen, how did they benefit from that? Well, after Krishna had expanded himself as the calves and the boys, Krishna and those calves and boys, they went home, back to Vrindavan. And they ran to their respective mothers. Now, this was all Krishna's mercy because the acharyas say that the cowherd boys' mothers always secretly maintained a greater affection for Krishna than their own sons. It's Braj. One loves Krishna more than anything else. That doesn't diminish the love for others, but it's just a statement. Everyone's focus is on Krishna. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Hey! Mahaprabhu would chant. So the elderly gopis, they're in that vatsalya mood, like the mommy mood, the motherhood mood. So they secretly maintained a greater affection for Krishna than their own sons. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says, they would often think as follows. Will I ever be as fortunate as Mother Yasoda and have Krishna as my child? Will I ever be as fortunate as Mother Yasoda? She has Krishna. I want Krishna. How's it possible? There's only one Mother Yasoda, one Nanda Maharaj. We get our Siddha Swarup. We don't become Nanda Baba, Yasoda, Vishaka, Lalita, no. But we can take on the same mood as these residents of Vrindavan. Madhurya Ras, Matsalya Ras, Sakya Ras, like that. That's a long way away, but that happy day will come. We'll know what a relationship by Prabhupada's grace is with Krishna. So these gopis, they had this mood. I want Krishna as my son. Will ever be as fortunate as Mother Yasoda and have Krishna as my child? So that's why Purnamasi arranged this pastime. Because Krishna had now taken the form of their sons, as well as the forms of the calves. So when these boys came home, all the desires of those mothers were fulfilled, and the mother cows as well. In fact, Jiva Goswami writes that during this one-year period, when Krishna manifested himself as his cowherd friends, this is really amazing. The older gopis' love for Krishna was twice that of Mother Yashoda's. The older gopi's love for Krishna was double what Yashoda feels for Krishna. Of course, we don't want to make any comparisons, but these are very interesting. The science of love of God. We're studying the science of love of God. So for 1 year, Krishna was the boys and the calves, and that looked to everyone, it looked like the pastimes. They're going to the forest, they're coming back in the evening. But just before 1 year was up, Balaram started noticing this unnatural, or you could say very natural, love that the mothers had for their sons. He said, this is unusual. The mothers really love the sons, and the sons really are, it's just increasing. And the same for the cows and the calves. So he was watching all this display of affection in Braj. It's always increasing, but Balaram's thinking, it's never been like this before. So he came to the conclusion, he's also the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that all these calves and boys must be Krishna. Otherwise, how are their mothers manifesting such intense love? So he went to Krishna. He said, Bhai, what's going on here? Something's happened you haven't told me about. Because Prabhupada said Balaram wasn't present. So when Krishna told him what happened, how Brahma came and then Krishna explained, Balaram got upset. Why did he get upset? The acharyas say because he had been deprived of his association with his real friends, the cowherd boys, for 1 whole year. I'm always with you, Krishna, but you know, Sridham and Raktak and all those, but you know, I've been deprived of their association for 1 year. He got angry, Balaram. So for the next 3 days, he wouldn't talk to Krishna. And he would not go out in the forest with Krishna. This is the mercy of all our acharyas to see these things from the transcendental. So this verse today describes that after a moment of Brahma's time had passed, since stealing all the boys and calves, a 1 year by human calculation, he returned to find Krishna playing with the boys and calves, just as he'd seen it the year before. So surprise, I hit those guys, I hit everybody. So he went to the cave, he opened the cave and they're all there sleeping. He confirmed that. So as Brahma was trying to figure out what was going on, I almost didn't come because of this cold, but I just couldn't refuse this opportunity. So as Brahma was trying to figure out, like, what's going on? I stole the boys, I put them in the cave, but I see the boys and the calves with Krishna. Like, what's going on? So he kind of wandered around to where all the boys were playing, and the calves. And the boys, you know what they said to him? Brahma, you're a goat. You wanted to bewilder us, but you do not know who we are. Just see the truth. And at that moment, by Krishna's grace, Brahma was given the spiritual vision to see all those calves, quote, and boys, quote, with four arms, with rain cloud-like complexions, wearing yellow garments, and ornaments, marks, and symbols like that of Vishnu, because that's who they were. They're all expansions. And as he watched, he realized what Krishna had done. And he became humbled. The acharyas say that he was stunned, of course, like, wow, what did Krishna do? But he was also overcome by bliss. And when he fainted, and when he came back to consciousness, external consciousness, it's described by Jiva Goswami that he came to, and the first thing he experienced, he perceived the sweetness of Vrindavan. I thought that was nice. I would also like to perceive the sweetness of Braj, wouldn't you? So this is the first thing, that as a result of this pastime, Brahma experienced the sweetness of Braj. Then he was able to, it's described, appreciate the trees which were heavily laden with fruit and flowers. What's the big deal? These trees are all called paviksha trees. They're all personalities. They're all persons who either achieved that position or siddhasrut, they had that position forever, like Madhavendra Puri. We hear so much about Madhavendra Puri. He actually introduced the idea of Madhurya Bhava, conjugal love, to human society in Kali Yuga before the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Madhavendra Puri. There's only three persons who can understand Mahabhava, the highest love for Krishna: Madhavendra Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Srimati Radharani, the Mahabhava. And we know from Gaura Gunadesha Deepika that in the spiritual world, Madhavendra Puri is what? A gopi? No, he's a kalpaviksha tree. So we shouldn't differentiate between different devotees. Of course, we say this is higher or lower, but it's all variety is the spice of life. So Krishna has all these different relationships with different devotees to fulfill his heart's desire. So Madhavendra Puri is a tree. But don't think of a tree. A tree in this world, I have no trees to point to because this is Braj. Like in the material world, Prabhupada said people take birth as a tree because they're lusty. People like to go naked or half naked or whatever. So Prabhupada said if that desire is very strong, you can stand naked for 100 years as a tree. Your desire will be fulfilled. So we shouldn't equate the trees of Braj with the trees of this world. In fact, in Vrindavan Mahimamrita, there's so many verses where Prabhupada Saraswati is glorifying just the trees. So many verses like that. So Brahma, not only did he experience the sweetness of Braj, but he could appreciate the trees laden with fruits and flowers that we hear in Krishna book. When Krishna and Balaram walk through the forest, what is the seva of these trees? They bow down and they give their fruits and flowers. Is that all? Well, bear in mind that every activity in Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan and Gokul Vrindavan, for those who realize, is saturated. It's pregnant with prema. It doesn't have to be a big activity. It can be a small activity. Offer me with love of fruit, a flower, a leaf, Krishna says, but with devotion. So that devotion, that Braj Bhakti, we see here in Vrindavan. That's why we've come. We want to get a glimpse of that. Somehow, even in our fallen state, we want to get a glimpse by Srila Prabhupada's grace. And then he experienced the atmosphere of Vrindavan, which is free of any material contamination. Sometimes we come and we look around, we see the sewers, the open sewers, we see people with dengue fever, COVID Asura came to Braj. You know, people arguing and rickshaw wallahs wanting. Well, this is Vrindavan? Yes. One time Prabhupada was speaking down at Radha Damodar about the glories of Braj to his disciples, and one boy raised his hand. He said, Prabhupada, you're just glorifying everything about Braj. But when I look around, people are sick and it's too hot. It's going to get pretty cold pretty soon. This and that. And Prabhupada said, that's because you have a speck in your eye. So the devotee was wearing glasses. So he took his glasses off and he rubbed his eyes. Prabhupada said, no. That speck in your eye is your desire for sense gratification. Material desire. That is your obstacle. That's between you and Krishna. Coming between you. Remove that speck of sense gratification, desire first, and you'll see Braj. It's not as simple as going like this, is it? What is it? Shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, shmaranam, padasevanam, archanam, bandham, dasim, sakyam, atmanivedanam. Take up one of the processes of devotional service. Or two, or three, or four, or five. And make quick progress of cleansing, cheto, dharpanam, archanam, from the mind's eye, from the heart, the contamination that stands between us and Krishna. Either one or any combination. Prabhupada is so expert that he has arranged International Society for Krishna Consciousness in such a way that we're engaged, practically speaking, any day of our lives in all of those nine processes. Prabhupada is so expert. He took all this culture, brought it to the West, and presented it to us in such a way that we are practicing these nine limbs of devotional service on a regular basis. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So, having had this vision of Braj, he got down from his swan carrier and he begged Krishna for forgiveness. Now, Prabhupada has mentioned that many times in his books and his purports that the demigods don't usually touch the earth when they come. But Brahma had given up his false sense of prestige and honor and thinking Krishna just an insignificant coward boy. He realized who he was, who is God, and who is his relationship with God. That's the essence of our movement. So he touched the ground out of humility. He fell like a rod, like a golden rod before the Supreme Lord. And he bathed Krishna with the tears from his eyes. Prabhupada said that in Nectar of Devotion that one should learn the art of crying. It's not an art like painting or, you know, athletics. It comes with purification. But we should hope for that day. At least one day in our lives and we chant the holy names, the result of all of our devotional service will be that one tear comes down our face. That's the perfection of Krishna consciousness. This is a movement of love. One devotee said, Krishna consciousness, this movement is forget the quote.
Love masquerading
as a philosophy. We have so many lecturers, but behind it all is, we want to love Krishna. The Brahma achieved that. So we offered very elegant and very deep prayers. I was reading the other day that Prabhupada commented one time that Brahma's prayers were amongst the most difficult parts of the Bhagavatam to translate and comment on. I was surprised when I read that. Transcription. Prabhupada said that the prayers of Brahma were the most difficult part of the Bhagavatam to translate and comment on. But I thought that Prabhupada really had no problem because he had the best editor. You should know that every writer has an editor. Even Hemingway, he had four or five editors. They would go through his works and edit and refine what he was saying. It's just the way we do things as writers. So Prabhupada had the best editor. How do we know? Because in a room conversation on June 18, 1977, here in Vrindavan, Prabhupada said in relationship to his writing, and I quote him, he said, it was not possible for me to digest so deep, so he's laughing. It was not possible for me to digest. Somebody else helped me. I am a layman. Of course, I don't even want to repeat those words, but Prabhupada said that in full humility, which is the greatest quality of a devotee, because the Lord works through such devotees. He said, it was not possible for me to digest. Somebody else helped me. I'm a layman. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he said, well, how did you write it then? Prabhupada said, that somebody was Krishna. He helped me. When I was writing, I was praying to Krishna that, quote, I cannot actually accommodate all this knowledge. You please help me. Srila Prabhupada, key. So in his famous prayers to Krishna, Brahma prayed, as you know, to be blessed by the dust of Braj, to be blessed by the dust of the Brajbasi's lotus feet, or the feet of the Brajbasi's, to be born as a blade of grass in Vrindavan, or even as a stone on the footpath that leads to Nandagram. Anyway, whatever service we can take here, it's worth more than millions and millions and millions of lifetimes as a king or a queen, as we're beginning to experience. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. So Prabhupada paraphrases these prayers and thoughts of Lord Brahma. I'll finish with these prayers. We'll finish with Srila Prabhupada's words, which are perfect and complete, summarizing these prayers of Brahma to Lord Krishna when he realized his mistake. So Brahma prays, "But if I am not so fortunate to take birth within the forest of Vrindavan, I beg to be allowed to take birth outside the immediate area of Vrindavan, so that when the devotees go out, they will walk over me. Even that would be a great fortune for me. I am just aspiring for a birth in which I will be smeared by the dust of the devotees' feet. Because I can see that everyone here in Vrindavan is simply full of Krishna consciousness. No one here knows anything but the lotus feet of Krishna or Mukunda, for which the Vedas themselves are searching. My greatest possible good fortune would be to take birth in whatever forest there is here in Vrindavan and have my head bathed by the dust falling from the lotus feet of the Brajbasis. Their entire lives and soul is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Mukunda. The dust of his lotus feet is still being searched for by Vedic mantras. Gantara Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki, Lord Brahma Ki, Vatsavan Bhachavan Ki, Srila Prabhupada, the Revealer of the Dham Ki, Shishi Gaurani Tai Ki, Shri Krishna Balaram Ki, Shishi Radha Shama Sundar Ki, Vrindavaneshwari, Shrimati Radharani Ki, all the Vaishnavas and the Vaishnavis Ki, Mayapur Dham Ki, Shishi Gaurani Kai Ki, back home, back to Godhead Ki, Jai Jai Sri Radhe, Shama.